Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Black Summit Offshore Network. Your hosts for tonight, Henrietta and Jill. Jill is in Atlanta. I'm in Chicago. And we are so glad to have you listening in tonight. Tonight's show, we have two wonderful guests, two urban gardeners, who are going to share some wonderful information about the things that they do that we can do also. As far as healthy gardening, and it's that time of year where we prepare our gardens. And so Cindy Stewart and Ia Lewis are going to give us some information about being intentional about gardening, intentional gardening. And, of course, we always begin everything with the International Black Summit with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And it goes, we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, Dalton, Illinois, May 1st, 2011. Atlanta, Georgia, May 1st, 2011. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. I was representing Jill. She's in Atlanta. She's in Atlanta. I happen to be in Dalton right now, and Ia and Cindy, our guests, are in Chicago. So what's going on, Jill, with the International Black Summit this month?
Okay, well, we have a lot. Hello?
Okay. Uh-huh, go right ahead.
All right, we have a lot going on. Right now we have, on May 21st, we're going to have two shares, and it's going to be one in Chicago at 3 o'clock. And Henrietta, do you want to inform everyone of where that's going to be held? I didn't get the address when you were talking a little bit earlier.
Our summer share is going to be held at TNT Foods at 3824 South Morgan Avenue in Chicago. TNT Foods, 3824 South Morgan Avenue, and that's May 21st at 3 p.m. That's Saturday, May 21st at 3 p.m. And then our prerequisite is June 4th. Same place, June 4th. And that's an all-day course. Yeah.
Okay. We're also going to have a share here in Atlanta on May 21st. And all the information as far as the location, we're looking at the location now because it will change, and that will be listed on the blacksummit.org website. Also, on May 21st, there's a New York IBS prerequisite course, and June 25th, there'll be an Atlanta prerequisite course, and that will be at 1197 Peachtree Street, Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia, 30361. And then, of course, we have our annual summit share, which will be August 4th to the 7th in Chicago. And again, all this information is located at www.blacksummit.org. Thank you. Back to you, Henrietta.
Great. Thank you, Jill. And remember, the dates for the annual event, August 4th through the 7th. If you've already done the summit or if you've already taken a prerequisite, you still have to be here on the 4th because the opening ceremonies are 7 o'clock that evening. But if you have to do a prerequisite, which you have to do unless you've taken one of these, you know, that are coming up, that's 9 o'clock on the 4th. So make sure you keep your dates and your times together because we all want to be prepared and ready to start that summit at 9 a.m. Friday morning, August 5th. We are planning a wonderful space for you to have a wonderful experience of your own. And we're looking forward to everybody coming to Chicago from all over the place. So, you can come in a week ahead of time because we have something for you to do every day. And we can, what we don't have, we can create. So we are really excited about the summit event this year being in Chicago. And we're prepared. We are prepared. So let's get started with tonight's show. And I'd like to introduce to you two really, really, really good friends of mine, Cindy Stewart and Ia Lewis, who are wonderful, just wonderful spirits. You know, they do a whole lot of different things, and you know how you find those people and who do everything well. Well, that's these kind of people. They cook well, they party well, they're smart, they know how to teach metaphysics very well. They're great students, you know, they're great friends, they're just great people. And one of the wonderful things they do is they deal with their urban gardeners. And so I'll let them tell you more about themselves. But let me say thank you for coming and good evening to both of you.
Good evening, Henrietta and Jill.
Good evening.
And everyone. This
great
wonderful Sunday. You talked about us being urban gardeners, and I want to throw out something, the caveat. We're newbies. We're new urban gardeners. I'm not the gardening expert, and I want people to understand I don't claim to be or think to be the gardening expert. But what we're doing is we're promoting the activity of gardening as a way for us to reconnect with the soil, to reconnect with the land, to reconnect with our heritage and the universal supply of food. And mostly we are interested in acquiring this information and sharing this information with young people so that they understand that food doesn't come from jewels and it doesn't come from Aldi's.
Yes, definitely. And having grown up on a farm, I am personally reconnecting with my childhood and trying to remember the things that my parents and my grandparents taught me that were important as far as nutritional value, as far as a financial value to the family. And I think that's something that we have lost in the urban environment because we have become so reliant on grocery stores that are very few and far between in our neighborhoods. So it often becomes difficult to find food sources that are not only nutritional but inexpensive as well. And I think if we just begin the conversation with families in the neighborhood, families in our communities, it will become more important to them as well.
Well, that sounds, I mean, it just makes so much sense. You know, it just really makes so much sense. What do you think about, someone told me, at a meeting, nutrition meeting, that you should only eat vegetables that have been grown within, I can't remember the exact number of miles, but maybe it was
100
miles. 100. Okay,
yeah.
So I was right. Right, 100 miles. Well, why? Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know that I can tell you the reason that individual said that. What I would simply say is if you have a connection to your food, if you know who grew your food and how your food was grown, and especially if you had a hand in growing that food, then you have a different respect for it. You understand more about the order of nature and God's order of nature. And so it gives you a different connection than this just a commodity that shows up on the shelf. And I think also we have to recognize in our community some of the most important health challenges that we are facing as a community in the Black community are rooted in issues related to what we eat, or more importantly, what we're not eating, and the nutrients that we're not getting. And we can do something about that. We don't have to wait for someone outside of the community, some corporation or some farmer across the globe, to do something about that. We have the power to grow our own food right where we are. And the thing that I want people to understand is it doesn't matter if you have a lot of space or a little space. You know, if you live in a house or an apartment or, you know, or on a big farm, you do have the ability to grow. There is a way, a method, and a type of growing that's suited to what your situation is.
You know, and speaking specifically to acquiring food within that 100 miles, something that we need to think about is as soon as fruits and vegetables are picked, they begin at that moment to lose nutritional value. So the further food has to travel to get to us, the less nutritional value it has when it finally reaches our tables. And we have to, when we look at grocery stores and those kinds of situations, we also have to factor in how long did it sit in the warehouse? How long did it sit in a store before we were able to purchase it and bring it home and prepare it for our families. So by the time it actually reaches our tables, the nutritional value is significantly less than being able to go into your backyard or on your back porch if you're in an apartment or wherever you are and pick something, cut it, and prepare it for your family that evening. There is no comparison.
You know, when we talk about an urban environment, a lot of people are in apartments and they think that they can't grow.
Absolutely.
And there are things called, there's a product called Earthbox, which is a nice, basically it's a box on wheels and it has its own little trellis and it is self-contained system with the growing medium and fertilizer and all in one. And it basically is a garden box that you can have inside or out. You could have it on a patio, or you can have it in your living room, or you can have it in your kitchen, or, you know, on the back porch. So, you know, that's one way that you can grow inside. There are systems that we can grow with water, we can grow with nutrients, we can grow vertically, which are some really, really cool things that we've been looking at. Basically, you take a wall that has good southern exposure, good light, and once again, it could be inside or outside, and you can grow food up the wall. And it's just a really cool thing to recognize that in less than a foot of depth of floor space, you could have 50 or 60 different plants growing up a wall inside your house. And so we just
wow.
have to realize that these options are there for them.
Yeah. And another thing in my adult life, I started out in a container garden because I lived in an apartment. And we were able to produce things like tomatoes, of course, is something easy to grow in containers, greens, turnip greens, collard greens, mustard greens. You know, when you think about the types of food that we generally eat in our communities, that's something that you can do in a very minimal amount of space and will produce enough food for the entire season with a little left over going into the fall and the winter because greens are very hardy. So they will produce well into the fall months, especially here in Chicago. So, you know, we do have options that don't take a lot of effort, that don't cost a lot of money, and will give us results that will actually show up on our tables and in our pocketbooks.
You know, this afternoon we were out working in the garden, and next door we have some young people, children. And they were hanging over the fence, and they were very curious, and they were asking questions because they had not been exposed to any of this before. And I think it would be a shame for us as adults to leave this planet and not have shared with young people, you know, this very basic knowledge of how to feed themselves. You know, God already set it up for us to be self-sufficient, to be able to grow food from the land, to eat from the land, for the land to provide new seeds, to keep this process going on at sin in an infinite way. But we've allowed business to get in the way of that. And so we've changed how food is grown. We've changed who grows the food. We've altered the food, and most people now don't eat food. We eat food products, and our children eat food products. So you have a situation where a child doesn't see a plant and recognize it as food. And I think that that's a problem because even in this past month, we've seen over in Japan how quickly things can happen on a natural level that could put you in a community where you cannot get a shipment coming in on the truck, where for whatever reason they can't bring food to you. And it would be a devastation if we had a whole generation of young people out there who didn't have any idea eat themselves if they couldn't go to the store or couldn't go to McDonald's.
This is Jill. We have a hand raised if you would like to make a comment. We have 404-281. You're live on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, a suggestion. This is Edwin in Atlanta. Just a
thought.
Hi, Ed. Michelle Obama has this drive on health and youth. And in what you just said about how important it is for the young people to know, like they don't even know like what plants are, you know, what would it be if you was able to contact, you know, White House or however they want to do that towards that program? Because I think that just is important for them to know what is good, and also to the idea, given how you express the idea around apartment and where people live, and definitely in the, you know, in African American communities, there may be a lot of apartments, you know, different areas in general, but definitely in the Black community, you know, that to teach them that they can still grow, that they still have a way to do it. I think that'll be powerful.
Yeah. Let me ask a question. Do you have a garden, or do you do any growing now?
No, I don't have a garden. I don't do any growing, but I do. I find I stop by, I don't buy like any canned food.
Mm-hmm.
I may get that's frozen or more so, you know, fresh for the most part, but in the least frozen.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of area do you live in? Do you live in like the urban area? Are you in an apartment or house? What kind of what's your situation?
I'm kind of in the house on the outskirts. I don't have like a lot of land,
mm-hmm.
But I just don't be home to kind of, you know, be home a lot. That'd be my kind of concern for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just kind of just my little situation.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you have any young people in your family, any children?
No, it's just me.
That's just you. Okay. All right.
Just
We are definitely working on approaching the schools in our area to help with a growing club of sorts for the young people. We are approaching the young people in our immediate neighborhood as well to get them involved, to get them engaged in asking questions and stimulate their natural curiosity so that they do understand the connection between a seed that you can hold in your hand and what goes on your plate. And I think once we stimulate the conversation and have them become completely engaged in the entire process, I think that's an important factor in not only helping the nutritional depletion of what they're eating, but as well as, you know, just helping them to understand that total connection that you have with what you eat. You know, there is something to the saying, you are what you eat. And I have been an advocate for quite a while and saying that, you know, when you change your relationship with your food, then you will indeed change your life. And I think that in changing where the understanding begins is paramount to that reaching that pinnacle of understanding where your food comes from.
Which I agree, but I still think in a larger scale, because that's something that they're trying to push, is health for you, for the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a good area to also put, you know, try to make a relationship or contact. Here's something I'm working on. Here's something I'm doing. And I think that, you know, it hopefully, like what you're doing would be in your area, that may have a bigger impact in Pond.
Yeah, we'd like to agree. All across the, you know, the country, we'd love to see people just taking, you know, it doesn't have to be anything big. It, you know, it can be a block, it could be a church, it could be a community group. We'd love to see the schools. It's summertime, it's coming. Day camps are all wonderful
mm-hmm.
opportunities to get people in the community engaged in this process of growing food and focusing on life and health, as
yeah,
opposed to the death and destruction that our young people are constantly bombarded with on the streets, especially in the summertime. So I'd love to see, but that's a grassroots thing, and I would certainly say that if we had the White House behind us, that would certainly help. But I don't think we don't have to wait for that. We can, each and every one can plant a seed or reach out to a neighbor's child and help them start a little container garden. And just having the discussion with them about food, helping them to grow their own small little garden, even if it is just, you know, a little square.
Yeah, I'm not telling you not to do that, but I'm just saying also, here's something that I'm doing. Send it to the White House,
yeah.
You know, in that regard to that program. Don't
yeah.
stop doing
what
you're doing, but hey, here's something that we're doing here. And
mm-hmm.
who knows what can come from that. So you're still doing
Absolutely.
What you're doing. I'm telling you not. But also, hey, here's something we've been working on in this area.
Okay.
You got
we appreciate you calling in with that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are having a wonderful conversation with Ea Lewis and Cynthia Stewart, and they are new urban gardeners, but it doesn't sound like you all are new. Let me just say that, and I understand what you mean, but just in the last 20 minutes, you've covered so much ground, and let me say hello also to Ed in Atlanta. He's a regular listener of ours, so thank you, Ed. And Ed, if I could make a suggestion, I think you should call the White House. I think you should call, and you should let them know what's going on, because you have a passion for it when you talk about it. So I'm just suggesting, just a suggestion that might be something that, you know, and I can, you know, keep you in touch with Cindy and Ea, but it sounds like something that you're passionate about them knowing. So just a suggestion. And I'm Henrietta, and Jill is the other host tonight. And we're having a wonderful conversation about urban gardening or intentional gardening. And when we talk about intentional gardening, we're talking about, planting things for a reason, a specific reason. And you've heard a lot of the reasons tonight, because it's nutritional. It sounds like it's therapeutic as well. And it can be a physical exercise, the way you all say you all are hurting today.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we're not as young as we used to be.
Okay. And it sounds like you're building relationships between the your neighbors, the children in the community, which is wonderful, and all of that is in the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And you've given us so many wonderful suggestions, like even if you're in an apartment, you can grow things. And I just don't think about growing tomatoes inside the house, you know?
Yeah.
I planted tomatoes one time when I was a teenager, because a lady across the street from us, she actually had an urban garden. She had a house was torn down a block away, and she asked the people if she could start a garden, and she made that entire lot a garden for the entire neighborhood. And so she just planted everything. So one time she came and she said, "These are tomato plants." She said, "Just plant them up against your wall." So I dug and dropped the seeds or the plants in there. I don't even remember which one it was, but I had tomatoes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, everywhere. Great big fat tomatoes, and I'm thinking about what you said. It was southern exposure.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was right on the side of the house. You know, it wasn't even on the lawn part. It was just, you know, that part right around the window. And we had tomatoes everywhere.
Yeah. And they
tasted
much better than what you bought in the store, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm loving this, the thought of it. Anyway, I'm loving the thought of it.
You know, Henrietta, one of the things that, you know, I'm by nature a very positive person and look to things in a joyful way, but I would not be honest if I didn't recognize that one of the things that most of the financial and economic experts are predicting is that we're going into a period of extreme food shortages, and some of it is tied to the changes in the prices related to oil and some of the natural disasters that we've had over the past year. So there's an expectation that those countries who, in communities that tend to exist close to the poverty line or below the poverty line, will be hurt the most with this food crisis and with the change and of prices going up so high for food. So we have an opportunity, though, to kind of get ahead of that right now with this growing season, because it's expected to hit us toward the end of this year. So it's another piece that we're not preaching doom and gloom, but just letting people to be aware, knowledge is power, that now is the time that they should be planting those seeds, planting those plants, taking stock of, making sure that they can supplement. We're not going to suddenly all of our food, but we can certainly supplement our grocery bill, bring down the cost of bringing fruits and vegetables to our family, and also have these other benefits as well.
Okay.
And this is Jill Henrietta. We have some hands up if you'd like to take some callers.
Sure.
Okay, we have caller 213-985. Yeah, 985, you're live on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello, everyone. It's Jill Henrietta.
Hi, Jill.
I'm a roving reporter.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine. This is excellent. This is just a perfect show. I love the information. I'm calling you from Compton, California. I'm now in the sunny state of California.
Good.
And just perfect weather, growing things, and you know, California, that grow all the time. But I wanted to come in and share some of our urban growers have been saying in a different type.
Takesha, your phone is going out.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to call back in on the computer if I'll come in there. But I wanted to give some comments.
Okay, because I hear some of what you're saying, but not all of it.
Yes, yeah, so yeah, we'll definitely be looking here. She's in California.
She just arrived in California. She's been in Japan for the last couple of months.
Okay.
So she I don't think she's been there maybe a few days.
She can certainly inform us about
what's
what
going
it's like
on
to be in a community when suddenly things are turned upside down in a big way. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask. Ed, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Okay, because you didn't respond.
I didn't know I was off or not. But I don't have a problem with doing that. I would just need to know certain things, so it'll be kind of off me. Okay, I know so and so. Okay, but what else is there? I really wouldn't know what to say. But I could just,
Okay. But we'll stay connected, so whatever you need to know, you know. Because, you know, my thing is whatever comes up, we need to do it. You know, we need to do it.
We're on Facebook, Henrietta and Ed and Jill. We went on Facebook and we set up a page. It's called the LSE Urban Garden Project 2011. And so it's a forum for us. It's a community page that we use on Facebook to kind of let people know what it is that we personally are working on or doing with our garden, or some of the local resources or workshops or other gardens that we come across that we want to give a shout-out to, so to speak. We do that on that LSE page. And then
you
we have
LSE Urban?
Yes.
LSE Urban Garden Project 2011.
Okay, and Miss Shakesha's back on the line too. If you all want to start talking to her about California,
sure, absolutely.
Shakesha, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Am I coming in? This is Shakesha.
Okay.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Yes. So one of the things I wanted to share as we're listening to the National Black Summit and with our annual event coming up there in Chicago
yeah.
is yes. It's that one of the things that's possible out of attending the International Black Summit and that's available listening to the weekly show is that you are able to receive tools. And as our gardeners will share with us, tools are important as you work on your garden. So as we look at the garden in our life, in terms of your life is your garden. I'm sure Henrietta will be talking more about your soul as your garden, but let's just look at life as your garden, and tools are something that will help your life. And one of the things that's available from the International Black Summit are the tools that we call distinctions. And there's several, or maybe over 18 distinctions that we talk about throughout the summit. But the one I wanted to share today that I felt like went with gardening is the distinction clearing. And clearing is used in at least four ways, but I'm going to just talk about it in this one way. And I'm going to also let you know I'm going to say it a little different. When I say clearing, something may immediately come to mind. And I'm going to just ask you to kind of roll down this road with me in what I'm going to say about clearing. So here clearing means what you are. Just like your garden, like what kind of garden do you have? Do you have an organic garden? Do you have a garden, a fruit garden? Do you have a flower garden? Or is it food garden? So a clearing says what you are. What the ladies have shared today, I can hear that this garden can also be a financial garden. They've already alluded to how we can save money. But I also heard making money here.
Yes.
I just want to pursue that a little bit, and then I'll say more about clearing. As I watched the TV show called The Southern Cow, and it talked about people who were growing food for themselves, but they would take their surplus and they were actually selling it to restaurants because so many restaurants want organic ingredients. And they said from their garden they generated $20,000 just from growing.
Yeah.
So if you looked at $24,000, that's $2,000 a month.
Right.
We look at building economies responsible for funding our community. Here you go.
Absolutely.
You don't have to take an interview. You don't have to go look for a job. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to spend gas money. You can go in that backyard or, as the lady said, grow it up the wall.
Absolutely. It's sustainability that you don't have to go and ask anybody for. It's right there, already provided.
There you go. And you could employ others. We could get a whole corporation franchises. So I just wanted to touch that part because I thought what the lady shared was so powerful that I wanted to give the just talk a little bit about money. Now, going back to clearing, and then I'm going to send it back to Henrietta. A clearing is a space that you are, just like a garden space where things are grown. So you could be a clearing for money. You could be a clearing for health. You could be a clearing for community by what you put in that space. So you could look at your garden, your life garden, and what are you putting in that space? What are you a clearing for? I'm taking on being a clearing for health because, like as you guys were saying, you know, I'm with those issues that African Americans deal with. I'm dealing with
high blood pressure and diabetic. And so I'm now taking on intentionally being a clearing for health and eating only foods that I cook and
good
only eating foods that are alive.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I'm using the distinction clearing that I've gotten from my 18 years of participating in the International Summit. And I'm taking that on, and I just think this show is so great. And you ladies, you're fantastic. You know, I just, the way you're doing it, how you're doing the Facebook, the factual information you gave us, and I'm excited. I am, you know, you got me revved up.
Oh, good. I am happy
to
hear that. That is all we want is to help people to get excited about this because it's fun. It's fun. It's healthy. You know, it's important. It's you know, like you said, it's financial. It's community. It's something that unites us all. I mean, and all of us can find some way to tune into it. Everyone has an opportunity to grow, but everyone doesn't have to be a big farmer. You know, we can help run the business aspect of it. We can do the sales or the marketing or the packaging or the distributing in the community. It's something that we can all be a part of. The young people, the old, exactly, it's community.
And another thing that we need to think about is, as far as our community and even beyond that, we don't all have to grow the same thing. We can, you know, back in the olden times, as the kids say, you know, we traded. If you grew corn and I grew tomatoes, then we each had an abundance of both of those. We don't all have to grow the exact same crops. Depending on our different space allowances that we have, and some crops grow better than others. If you're not particularly a green thumb, then you may choose a crop like tomatoes or like greens that don't require a lot of maintenance and that pretty much grow on their own. So and leave some of the more difficult crops or choices to some other people in the neighborhood. And then you come together in a community setting and trade. But I think that would be that's definitely an avenue to bring all of us together again.
Okay, we have another caller. We have a 630-217. You're live on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Sheila. How are you?
Hi, Sheila. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm calling from Calumet Park, and I'm really enjoying all of you and the conversation. I have a passion for gardening and flowers and plants, and so it's always exciting to hear anybody talk about it. So,
we're in our neck of the woods, so I'm glad to hear you.
Well, I thought of several things when I first found out that this focus was going to be on the program. I initially thought about the youth, like the gentleman did earlier, and how also when you were pointing out the fact, I don't know which one it was pointing out the fact about the possible, you know, deficiencies in the availability of food, that people, the young people that learn to plant could learn to be self-sufficient by, like you just talked about, selling the surplus that they have.
Yeah.
And so I totally agree with that. The gentleman that was talking about, I don't remember his name, but I know I've heard his voice before. There are organizations across the nation that are doing community gardening, even in Canada. And there are a lot of different sponsors, such as Target and Triscuit and Tiffany, and all across the nation. It just takes a little research. The University of Illinois has an extension service just like in just about, I think, in all 50 states, our extension services to the state university that assists in Master Gardener programs where you can get state certified. And one of the things that's interesting about the state certifications is that the information that you gain is privy to the state that you live in. So if you're taking a Master Gardener course in, say, Hawaii, it would be a little bit different focus than in Illinois because of the climate, because of the types of soil, et cetera. And it's very worthwhile to learn about the types of soil and the types of things that grow naturally.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh. Did we lose her?
I think her mic is still open, so maybe she'll come back in.
Mm-hmm. Jill?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Shakesha? She was still on, I think.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Let her continue.
As far as the eating within 100 miles, there was a book out a while back about that, but primarily it's just eating from local growers. And one of the things that it does is cuts down on the different herbicides and pesticides and the gases that are sprayed. A lot of the food that we eat, we have no idea that it's not even ripe. It's not even ready to eat.
Right.
Like with the tomatoes, the tomatoes that are shipped here, they're picked when they're green, but then they put them in a place and spray them with nitrogen gas, and that turns them red. So we're really eating green tomatoes, which
yeah.
You don't get the full vitamins and nutrients and the benefit of the fruits and vegetables that you're eating when you're doctored like that. But one of the things that we have really stopped working with is patience. So we don't have patience even with the microwave. I hear people fussing at the microwave, hurry up. So there's a time and place for everything, and the growth cycle has to be, has to go to its fullest in order for it to get the benefit that our Creator has designed in each fruit, each vegetable, etc. But I'm not going to keep talking. I'm going to let the young lady from California welcome and continue her conversation. Thank you so much.
Well, let me just say to this lady here from Calumet Park, definitely check us out on our Facebook page and join us. We'd love to join the conversation
yes.
with you. You're nearby. And we'd like to get together with you, and it's so true what she is saying. We can all take a part in this and be a part in this. And when you start to have patience and recognize that this is a process, that life is a process, it's an unfolding. It doesn't just happen instantly. Then you're respecting life. Again, you're respecting the process and the order of life. You're respecting the fact that this has to happen before that happens, that there's some effort that has to go into this. Now, when that plant, that fruit, or that vegetable is ready and ripe and it comes to your table, it has a whole different meaning than the one that you picked up at the store and just paid some money for. It has a different meaning, and it feeds your soul, I believe, in a different way, in addition to just feeding the body.
I have a question. This is Henrietta. And first of all, let me just say this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And we are in a wonderful conversation with Cynthia Lewis and Ia, Cynthia Stewart and Ia Lewis. And Jill is in Atlanta, and Ed is in Atlanta, and Chakasha's in Compton, and she lives in Calumet Park, Illinois. I'm in Dalton, Illinois. And so we're having a wonderful conversation. Our call-in number is 646-716-9827, 646-716-9827. And we, believe it or not, only have a few minutes left. So I wanted to ask, you all said you all were gardening today, and I wanted to know if we could take the next 5 minutes and talk about how to prepare the gardens, whether they're inside, outside. If you could just share with the listeners, you know, how to get started.
Well, we started this process, I guess, quite frankly, we started the process months and months ago, and it was just in terms of reading and starting to do some research and find some of the different techniques or different ways to grow. So it started there, and then about mid-March, we started to plant some seeds, and we planted them inside in a seedling tray.
In rock wool.
Yeah, in rock wool.
Under a grow light.
So that was the first step, and so now we have this. We have these plants that have sprouted. They've shown their leaves, and they're in different sizes. But it's time for them to get ready to go into the ground. And for us, most people would say we're looking at the end of May, towards the end of May, before we can safely say we won't get any more frost. And when we can realistically put everything outside. But today we started to take some things outside a little at a time. We worked on some tomato plants, getting them in the ground. But we were preparing mostly because one of the techniques or growing techniques we decided to try this year in our garden was something called straw bale gardening. So this weekend was about getting the straw bales prepped and ready with their compost, and so that we can plant some strawberries. Actually, is what we're planning on putting out there first in the straw bales.
Okay, so what's a straw bale?
We are using wheat straw. You can use wheat or oat. They recommend wheat primarily because of there's not any grass that will grow, so there's very little weeding that you'll end up doing. And you have the straw bale that we actually went to Dwight, Illinois to get from a farmer who has roughly 300 acres of land, and he grows beans and some other things, but he has quite a few acres of straw, of wheat straw that he cuts and bales. So we picked this straw up a few weeks ago, and in order to prepare it, you set it on its side, and what it will do is actually compost into itself. Wet the straw down, put your a little compost on top, and let it sit for anywhere from 7 to 10 days, dig a hole, and put your plants directly into the straw bale. And your plant will take root, and the straw and compost that have become this mixture will continue to compost itself
and feed
feed your plants directly. So you're not growing in soil per se, but it will act as its own compost. And from what we understand from all of the research that we've done, the extra nutrients in the compost and the straw feed the plants quite nicely.
Okay, what's compost?
The thing that I like about it is it's one of those weed-free gardening techniques, so I don't have to, and because the straw is actually, you know, this block, it's raised up, so it's kind of like a raised bed or a raised container, if you will, the straw bale is, that you can grow out of. I don't have to bend so low. My back likes me. And I don't have to do the weed pulling thing, and my back likes me. So I'm all into making this experience easy and pain free.
Well, I have to come by.
Yes, you will.
I have to come by and see it, but that's really interesting. Okay, so when you say the plant goes right into it, what plant are you talking about? Any plant?
Plants that we have started from our seeds that we planted a few weeks ago.
So what kind of seed was it?
We will do strawberries initially in this set of bale.
Okay.
And we are planning on several different locations throughout the backyard for the strawberries. We will do a hoop house to protect our growing from our neighborhood squirrels, who seem to like everything that we grow, as we learned last year. They fed quite well on our peppers and watermelon. So as an extra form of protection, we're doing a hoop house that will have straw bales in it as well as raised beds that will be able to control our soil content a little better than growing directly in the ground.
So really what we're doing this year is we're really trying a variety of different growing techniques and growing mediums, because we wanted to know for ourselves what worked with these different techniques, how they worked, and also when we talk to other people, based upon their situation, if you only have a little bit of space here, or if you have you don't have much light there, or you don't have a backyard, you only have a back porch. So we wanted to kind of try a lot of different techniques, see where they work at, what's good about them, what's bad about them, so that we can help other people sort of streamline their growing process as well.
That's really wonderful and exciting. And I'm looking forward to looking at it.
Well, you have to come by, and also,
and I took pictures today, so I will post them on Facebook within the next few hours or so.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Good. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you all so much, and I do hope you will come back and keep in touch. But you will see them at the summit sometime during the week, so you'll get a chance to meet them. We are asking that the guests and our regular listeners, any guests that we've had on the show, come to Chicago and be vendors this year. And vendors doesn't mean that you have to have a product to sell. You can sell it, sell what you have. But just to have conversations like we've had tonight, so there's so many different ways to be vendors, but we'll talk about that another time. We thank you so much, Ia and Cindy and Ed and Chicago. And Sheila Hum.
So thank you for having us. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And Gia, thank you so much. We are, again, the International Black Summit is in Chicago. Go to blacksummit.org. Read the declaration. See where you are in the declaration, because everybody is in the declaration. But just pick what you're doing, and I'm just thinking about so many things that Ia and Cynthia are doing that are in the declaration. Building economies, you know, responsible for funding our communities, you know, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media. They are doing all of that simply by doing something that they're interested in and enjoy. So everybody, go to blacksummit.org and take a look at the Declaration of the International Black Summit and register for the summit event, August 4th through the 7th, and let us know that you are coming so we can prepare for you. Are there any, Jill, do you have any last minute, anything?
I want to thank everyone for coming on the show and sharing. And we can continue this conversation in the Oxygen Room and along with talking about the annual event and registration. And that number is 218-862-6420. Again, that's 618-862-6420. And the PIN is 797-4834. Back to you, Henrietta.
Right, and there's a pound sign, I think, after that, right? Could
yes,
you repeat
sir.
That number one more time, Jill, please?
Sure.
The access code.
The access code is 797-4834 pound.
Thank you. So we'll continue this conversation in the Oxygen Room where we can breathe and get a little deeper into intentional gardening. Thank you again to Ia and Cynthia in Chicago. And maybe we'll even make that a part of our tour. We're doing a Chicago tour. Maybe part of that tour will be to visit their garden.
Okay. So okay.
We'll have this big bus driver, many buses, I should say, to check out your garden. But thanks again. Thanks a million. And we will talk to you soon. And
oh, yes. Well, thank you. And we're going to run.
Okay. God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. See everyone in the Oxygen Room. Bye-bye.